That's our family. I am Hope. This is Nate. And like Ma'am Sherry said, we are the regional communications coordinators for this region, for Asia Pacific. And we want to thank you for allowing us to come and just introduce ourselves and share our story. And we pray that today something will speak to your heart and you can carry that on and be encouraged as you continue your studies here. So the main focus we have in our message is, where is your home? So you might say, for us, the United States is home. Nate has a little bit more specific location, and he can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so my family is, I was born in Michigan, which is the state that looks like a hand. You can tell someone is from Michigan in the United States because you'll say, where are you from? They'll say, oh, I'm from right here, which is, this is where my parents live in Saginaw, Michigan. And now if you live, you'll notice that Michigan has two parts. There's that part up above, almost no one lives there. So no one ever says they're from that part. They always say they're from here. Michigan is cold. We moved here in March and there was snow on the ground in Michigan when we arrived here in the Philippines. That was a big change. I'm a tall white guy from a snowy country. I'm a long way from home. How many of you here would say you're a long way from home? Almost all of you got to be raising your hands. I see all of these flags, and I know not all of you are from one of these countries, but you came here, you left home to come here. Maybe some of you it was farther than others. Some of you came all the way from the U.S., some of you from South America, some of you from other places in the Philippines, but as everyone knows, when you move even within your own country, you're a long way from home. It's completely different. If you're from Cebu and you live in Manila, it's not the same. I think for me, I have Ohio highlighted there as well. Ohio is the more boring-looking state. That is where my father is from. All of my family is from. And so I have a lot of connection there as well. I attended Mount Vernon Nazarene University, which is in Ohio. And I thought when I was young, our sons are 8 and 6 tomorrow. The younger one turns 6 tomorrow. I thought that would just be where we'd settle. But the Lord had something else in mind for us. Go ahead and Hope is from these states. You probably know the one down at the bottom, that's Florida. Everyone knows where Florida is. But in the middle, you see Kansas, you see Missouri. Right in between them, right on the line, is Kansas City. When you hear people talk, oh, I did something in Kansas City, that's where they were. And then below that is Arkansas, which is one of the southern states, a little less populated. And so we both moved around a fair bit within the U.S., but when I was 10 years old, my parents accepted the call to serve the Lord in the Church of the Nazarene as missionaries. Now, there are three countries highlighted there. The first one, I'm going to point at the one, you know what, you have this. Hold on, there's a thing. Hey, so this one up here, that is Jordan. Jordan is next to Israel. If you know where Israel is, you can find Jordan easily. My parents served in Jordan as Nazarene missionaries for 4 years in the mid-90s. This was in the day when Nazarene missionaries would spend the full 4 years on the field before home assignment, which sounds insane now that I'm doing this myself. 4 years is a long time to be in a country that's unfamiliar to you. Then we moved on to Egypt right here. You all know what Egypt is, right? That one shows up in the Bible quite a bit. And then after that, it was a completely new change. We transitioned down here to Senegal. Senegal is in West Africa. You can't really tell here, but Senegal looks like Pac-Man, because there's a tiny little country right in the middle of it called the Gambia. And so that's what I always, when you see the country that looks like Pac-Man in Africa, that's Senegal. I lived there for 2 years. My parents ended up serving there 6 years because I was in university for those last 4 years. So as you can imagine, for someone who has lived in now 5 different countries, I couldn't really tell you what my home is. And the thing is, when all of us talk about home, we mean different things. Maybe you mean a country. Maybe you're thinking, oh, wow, I really miss, if you're from Korea, I really miss Korea. I'm sure that's how it is. Maybe you think of family members. I'm close with my family, my parents and my sister. Yesterday was my nephew's fourth birthday. I really wish I could have been there for that. That's the first thing I think of. Maybe you think of like places. So you think of like a house. Maybe it's a house you grew up in. Maybe it's a church that meant a lot to you. Maybe it's a school that you spent a lot of time and was very meaningful for you. There's something that you use it as an anchor, and you say that right here is my home. And then when people ask you where you're from, you'll be like, well, I'm from here. And you almost have to just pick your answer so you can say, I have no idea what my home is. I've never had a good answer because my parents have been all over the place. And I think that's why it's always been so important to me. I'm the type of person who wants to go home, which seems strange when you meet me. I know I'm a kind of very outgoing, talkative person, but I hit a point in every social engagement where I'm like, well, I'm done. I want to go home. I have some serious TV to watch and some serious video games that need playing, and I need to go home. I think we hit those points in social engagements. When I move to a new place, and I'm going through this right now, this is me being very vulnerable with you, I always want to go back to where I just was. It doesn't matter if I actually liked it, because I just want to go back. I want to go back to the way things used to be. Now, of course, we know that when you do that, you're not being obedient to what God has for you. You wouldn't be happy there. It probably wasn't as great as you remember, but I still want to do it. I know that about myself. I think that's why I ended up going to Mount Vernon Nazarene University, because it was familiar. My family was from there. I had attended school there for a while. I met my college roommate when we were there, and we roomed together all 4 years when I was in my undergraduate, and I wanted that to be home. Hey, this is a good spot. I have family here. I feel like I could pick this place to be my home. Well, after I finished my university degree, the Lord had other plans. I wasn't able to find work in the area, and I had hoped to do that. And so at that time, my parents said, well, we're going to be coming off the field. We're going to be returning to the pastorate. My dad had been a pastor for 10 years before he went on the mission field. And he said, we're going to return to the pastorate in Saginaw, Michigan. It's right here, if you remember my map that I have with me. It's right here. We're going to go back to that area because this church has opened up and we're going to pastor there. My dad is still pastoring there for 13 years now. And I didn't have anything else going on. And so I thought, well, I'm not working. I can't pay rent now. So I'm going to go ahead and move in with them and move back up to Michigan with them. And it was good. I hadn't been to Michigan really since I was young. My dad had pastored there before going on the field. And when I was back there, I'm worried I'm going to give feedback here. Maybe I should step. That's why I'm always stepping between speakers, if you wonder why I'm doing that. I had thought maybe this could be my home now. I didn't have one. Maybe this is as good a place as any. I have family who lives here now. I was born not far from here. And so maybe this can be my home. Well, it turns out that after a year of living with your parents, your house begins to feel very, very small. Those of you who lived with your families, maybe some of you still do, it's wonderful to be able to live with family, but there are challenges that come with that. There are a lot of challenges that come with that. And I sensed, no matter how much I love my parents, I sensed that the Lord couldn't leave me here. I sensed that this wasn't the end for where I was supposed to end up. And as I began praying, I had had a conversation with an uncle of mine after I finished university. And he said to me, Nate, you really need to think about going into the ministry. Now, I hadn't seen him in years. You know, this was one of those conversations with someone who you really kind of barely knows you. That's not fair. He knows me okay. But, it just was this, okay, at the time I didn't think anything about it. But throughout this year with my parents, I'd been thinking, you know, I feel like the Lord might be moving me in that direction. So I accepted kind of this call that I felt God was placing on my life. And I began to look at pursuing a master's degree at Nazarene Theological Seminary in Kansas City. And it was amazing. It was after I said yes to God in this, everything else just lined up. It was amazing. When you've been struggling through something and the Lord shows you something and then you're like, oh, well, that's what I need to do, and just everything falls into place. Has anyone experienced something like that where you say yes to God and then it's like, well, I should have said yes a lot sooner. What was I waiting for? It was one of those kind of situations. I drove to Kansas City with my father. That's a 12-hour drive, and we had we were going to find me an apartment and a job and visit the seminary campus, which is a lot to put into like 5 days of trip. Well, by the time we had left, I had a job. I had an apartment. These things had come together in days. New jobs never come together in days. It was this amazing answer to prayer. And so I made this preparation to move to Kansas City. Now, at this point, I'm going to kind of just pause on my story and let Hope share more about what God was doing in her life, because there's always these parallel things that are happening in stories, right? That's one of the things we like when we watch a movie or something. You're like, oh, this is happening over here, and meanwhile, this is happening over here, and then they kind of come together. So I'll let Hope share with you.
Now, just talking about that idea of where your home is, I've reflected in the last few days and counted up how many places I have lived in a bed, in a home, in an apartment, dorm, wherever. 19 is my number. So I've lived a lot of places, but I don't know any different, so I kind of like it that way. I graduated from Mid-America Nazarene University, which is in the Kansas City area, not close to Mount Vernon. We didn't know each other in college, but there were a few steps that led me to away from Kansas City and then back to meet Nate. After I graduated from Mid-America, I got the opportunity to be a conversational English teacher at Korea Nazarene University. At that time, I only had to have a bachelor's degree. Now you have to have a master's degree to do it. But then I met the qualifications and was accepted to be a university professor at the age of 22. And my sister and I actually moved to Korea together. We lived across the hall from each other in the Owens apartment building. That was before I was an Owens. I was Hope Talent then. And I had a great time. I fell in love with Korea and the people there. I love the culture, the food, and really the people are the biggest part of Korea that makes it so special. I spent 3 semesters teaching there, and at that time felt like I needed to go back home to where my parents lived in Kansas and be there for my brother's graduation and high school and things like that. After I spent a little bit of time there, I felt God calling me to do another international missions experience. So I checked out the opportunities in Africa. I found out that there's a university there called Africa Nazarene University. They were able to take me as a volunteer missionary there for 1 year, working in the registrar's department. So I got to help recruit students and process them through their education time there in Kenya. They're a little bit difficult to see, but you can, that's South Korea where I did live, and then also Kenya. Those locations formed me in a different way had I not moved there. Had I stayed in Kansas close to my family, I wouldn't have had the opportunities and experiences that have changed my life for the better today. After I finished my year of volunteer service in Kenya, I went back home and I lived with my parents. We have these parallel things happening. I was a substitute teacher for 2 years. That gave a good flexibility for my lifestyle. I didn't have a lot of family responsibilities, and it was a good time of my life. But there were some missionaries that came to my church, and it was one of those experiences where I don't remember what the message was or what the missionaries said specifically, but I do remember that God spoke to me, and the outcome of that service was that I said yes to him, that I would do whatever it was that he was calling me to do. And in the the setting, I was feeling like that was something international. So you put those two together, say yes to God, international, that means you're going to be a missionary, right? So I checked in with the Global Mission Office in Kansas City and said, hey, I want to be a missionary. They put me through this little process as a single person, checking all the boxes, doing all the essays, doing all of the interviews. I was invited to missionary assessment, and that was in 2007. And they have a few outcomes for that event. And for me, they said, we do see potential in you being a missionary, but we think you could get a little bit more experience in missions and service here in the United States. And we so happen to have a job that we need filled in our office in Global Mission, working with work and witness teams. And they asked if I would consider filling that role. I was able to pray through that quickly and accept, because it felt like, saying yes to God, international, maybe it's not a missionary. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. Work in witness teams. I was sitting at my desk in Kansas City talking to people all over the world, helping them to connect and send out mission teams and bring mission teams through the Church of the Nazarene. So I worked in Kansas City for 7 years, but that first year is when I met Nate. And I will tell you, he has a different experience than I did, but the first time I laid eyes on him, I called dibs, said, that one's mine. Because look, I mean, don't we look good together? It took a little while for us to get on the same page, but not too long, because we met in June, and by the we had a little coffee date, and he mentioned that there was going to be a play at his church. And he said, well, he was in college in drama and communications. I was also in drama and communications in college. And he said, you should audition for the play. And in my mind, I heard him say, will you marry me? I said, okay. And so I auditioned, and we should thank our friend Wade. He cast us together as boyfriend and girlfriend. We got to play like we were boyfriend and girlfriend before we became boyfriend and girlfriend in real life. But throughout the play practices, we decided we liked that role, and we became boyfriend and girlfriend. And so we did that play in September. And, you know, we met in June, did the play in September. And by the next June, we were cast in the next play as boyfriend and girlfriend too, but we were married in that next September. We got married June 2008. And you know, every step of the way in your life, sometimes you're going forward on faith and you don't see the reasoning, or you don't see what God sees. But when you turn around and look back, you can see all those things, all the pieces coming together. All of the yeses that you gave are answers in his own way. So just the encouragement in this is to always just trust in God, even if you don't understand. Even if you don't feel effective or purposeful, sometimes God has a plan for that. So be encouraged in that message there. Let's see. That was a little throw-in. I didn't even plan that, so I have to think about what's next. So this is where we have lived together, Nate and I, together as a family. You know, his states were red and mine were blue. Now they're purple. So we lived in, we met in Missouri and moved to Kansas just right up across the border. So they almost are together. And then in Texas, Nate, I think that he can share a little bit more about how God moved in our lives to move us from Kansas City to Texas.
So I lived in Kansas City for 8 years. We lived there married for 6 years together. And I loved it. I had a wonderful time. I could have stayed there for my whole life. And I was ready to do that. I was ready to stay in one place my whole life. But I just didn't have any peace about it. I didn't have any peace in it. I had a job that was good. I was working for the Global Ministry Center. I didn't have peace in that. I didn't have peace in what the Lord had for me in the future. And it causes a lot. You know, if you're living for years at a time without a sense of peace in your life, it causes a lot of anxiety and frustration and stress on you. And when that builds up over years, it can take a lot of different forms. In my case, my prayers, I noticed, were starting to get angrier and angrier. There was this feeling of like, well, God, I know something's not right, and why don't I know? Why are you leaving me here? Was what kind of became the narrative of these prayers. And it got worse. I mean, this is over years. This is probably a five-year period that this is happening, which is a long time to have this conversation with God. And I remember one night I don't remember what had happened. It must have been a bad day at work or something. I don't know. But I was up late that night. I couldn't sleep. It's like 1 in the morning. Hope is in bed because Hope could fall asleep at 8:30 every night and be fine. And I can't. I'm always up late. That's just how I am. And I couldn't have slept if I'd wanted to. I had so much on my mind. I was on my knees. It was just one of those really messy prayers where you're like, you're crying and you're like half yelling at God. You know, it was not a proud moment. And I got to the end and I was just like praying to the Lord and I was saying, you know, God, you know, you think you're so great. God can take it when you say this kind of stuff to him. Don't be shy about being honest with God because he knows anyway. Right? I mean, there's no point in hiding it from him. And I was not hiding anything. I was, you know, you think you know everything. You say you're watching over me. You know what? Why don't you just do it? Just you take care of it. I've had enough disappointment, frustration, heartbreak. I don't need this anymore. You just take care of it. And it was not this worshipful, oh, be thy will, Lord. It wasn't that. I was so mad and I was so tired. And of course, when you're tired, you get angrier or more upset. And so it was a mess. And I went to bed that night. I was exhausted. And the next night, I had a church board meeting, which for those of you who have ever participated in a church board meeting will know it is not something that will improve a bad mood. It was a long board meeting. And like many meetings in my life, I could not tell you one thing that we talked about, except for one thing. I could, so I lied right there. I could tell you one thing that we talked about, but only one. We talked, our worship pastor had been on a retreat, a spiritual retreat where he had been, I believe it was a monastery of some kind in the Kansas City area, and one of the monks at the monastery had been giving them a tour before he was going to go to this place to pray. And he saw a door that wasn't marked as they walked, or it had some name that he didn't recognize. I don't remember exactly. And so we asked this monk, he said, well, what's this for? And he said, well, this is a room. If there's a conflict between two monks, we get them in here, they deal with it, and that way it's not this thing that's going to be really poisonous and toxic for the rest of the monastery. We won't be carrying it around. They're going to deal with it in here, maybe have a third person in there to help them, but they take care of it, so it's not a problem anymore. And the church had been through some stuff in the previous years, and so there had been kind of some people who had left, you know, because they're angry, because that happens a lot. And so the worship pastor finished telling the story. Someone else at the board meeting said, wow, we could really use something like that. And everyone laughed like it was the craziest thing in the world to want to try to solve conflict. Like, well, we could really use something like that, but of course we won't put it in there. We've never done it that way. The way we deal with conflict, we want to be sure that those two people never speak to each other, but they speak to everybody else, and that way the whole church will be torn apart. That's the way we've always dealt with conflict. That's the logical way to deal with conflict. I am being very sarcastic there. I hope you all understand that. That's not the way, but that's the way we do it sometimes. And I was felt like I was the only one sitting there thinking, that doesn't sound so crazy to want something like that. And so that night, I went home and I researched. Did you know you can study conflict resolution? I didn't know this was a thing that you could get a degree in. And I did some research, and the Lord opened the door. I'm condensing this story a little. The Lord opened the door for me to study at Southern Methodist University, which is in Dallas, Texas. Dallas is in North Texas, kind of the northern edge of the state there. Right around there. And I studied there for 2 years, and it was a hard move. It was hard for a lot of reasons. It is difficult to move to a new region of the country. Texans love saying that Texas is like a different country. If you talk to someone from Texas, and they love telling you just how different Texas is. And it was really different. It was a very difficult transition. I wasn't able to find a job. I thought I would have a job. But the Lord actually lined it up that I would be able to stay home with our children, who would be starting school in the next year or two. And we were able to stay there together. And through that time, the Lord taught me so much about how much our Lord cares for peace. I don't think we put enough emphasis on that as a people of God. You know, God does all of, Jesus in Scripture does all of these healing of the sick and returning sight to the blind. And I think we see that and we think, oh, if only the Lord would do that. You know, I think there's a sort of, the Lord heals our relationships, which I think many of us would agree is one of the most miraculous, beautiful things that we have had in our lives. We don't talk about it in those terms. Southern Methodist University, it has the word Methodist, but it is really not much of a Christian university. It was a very secular environment. But it was a wonderful opportunity. I learned more in that year and a half of doing my master's than I had learned about Jesus in the previous 30 years. I'm not exaggerating. I never would have had that unless I decided to say, you know what, Lord, you just take care of it. I can't do this anymore. You deal with it. After I finished my degree, the Lord opened the door for us to be able to serve in Michigan, back with my father, at my father's church. After all this time, he was now bringing me home. But here's the difference. It wasn't home anymore. Because what I had found out in that time was my home was not tied to a place. My home was not tied to my family. My home was not tied to some kind of structure that meant... My home was where God was. I'm going to read to you. This is Psalm 84. And this is... We chose this psalm because this has sort of been kind of one of the soundtracks to our experience coming overseas. I'm going to read the whole thing. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Amen. Amen. I wasted like 35 years trying to find home. Because I thought that my goal as a person, as a decent Christian, was to find a place where I could make a nest, and I could be protected, and I could be safe. But God keeps pulling us out of those places. He keeps dragging us to new places and new possibilities and new relationships because we aren't designed. He did not make us to just be safe in one spot. He made us to go. And when we think to ourselves, oh, I miss my home, I miss Michigan, I miss Korea, I miss Myanmar. I miss India. When you say those things to yourself, you think, yeah, I miss those things, but I am home right now because I am with my God. I could go a whole other 30 minutes. I won't. But I could go a whole other 30 minutes on just the amazing stuff here. I mean, the person, they go from strength to strength. That's amazing. I imagine like a river, like this river we have out here when it's really full of water. I imagine like there's rocks on it, and you just step from rock to rock. You go from strength to strength. Everything around you is just rushing and flowing, and it could sweep you away, but it doesn't take you because you are following the Lord. You have made your home in the Lord. You are going out into ministry. You won't be at home. I'm sorry to say, even if you end up going back to the home and the place that you have called home, it won't be home anymore. Because your home is not there. Your home is with the Lord. As I was sitting here, I thought of this, and Hope said, mentioned this earlier, and she doesn't know I'm going to do this, so she's probably a little nervous now. We were both the type of people who did a lot of acting in high school and college and even into adulthood. And one of my favorite plays, and maybe some of you have seen it, this is a very popular play in the U.S., but it's called Fiddler on the Roof. Have you heard of this? Some of you see, there's a very big movie about, it's a three-hour movie that's great, all 3 hours. It's wonderful. But it tells the story of a Jewish family, the turn of the 20th century, who live in Russia. This is before it's communist, it's Tsarist Russia. And the main character, he has a daughter, and his second daughter falls in love with a revolutionary. And he gets himself arrested, and he's sent to Siberia. And she wants to go and be with him in Siberia. And so there's a scene in the play, it just breaks my heart when I watch it, in the movie or in the play, where they're waiting at a train station, and they're waiting for the train to come take her to Siberia so she can meet the one she loves and get married there. There's no guarantee they'll ever see each other again. And there's this beautiful song that they sing, and I want to read some of the lyrics because this is the thing right here. This is what is important. How can I hope to make you understand why I do what I do, why I must travel to a distant land far from the home I love? Once I was happily content to be as I was, where I was, close to the people who are close to me here in the home I love. And then further down, I'm going to skip some of it. There where my heart was settled long ago, I must go. I must go. Who could imagine I'd be wandering so far from the home I love? Yet there with my love, I am home. You are with your love now. And that is where your home is. Thank you very much.